Okay, we're going to, last time we was together, I chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, and tonight we're going to start the second chapter. This is study number 9 in the book of 2 Timothy. Today's date of May the 21st, 2019. I guess with one chapter down, we got 3 to go. So we'll start off here with 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. It reads, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. The first word here, therefore, carries with it the idea of the consequence in this verse, and it might also be translated the word then or consequently. And if you notice here, Paul addresses Timothy as my son. On the one hand, Timothy was certainly Paul's spiritual child and successor. On the other hand, on the basis of affection and care and love, Paul spoke of Timothy as being his child. But we need to keep in mind that Paul also uses the same word for son with reference to those under his ministry and under his care. So we're looking back on the, So looking back on the fact that all those in Asia turned away from Paul, and particularly, remember the last time we were together, I gave you 3 names of people, Phygellus, Hermogenes, and Onassis. Now Paul now puts the pressure on young Timothy to continue strong in the Lord. And Paul is telling Timothy, and I love this next command, as if Timothy, he could just go down to the local CVS store, and Paul tells him to take a good dose of counteracting antidote. Namely, that would be the strength of the Lord, strength in the Lord. And Paul tells Timothy to be strong, which literally means to have a power in or to have an inner power or internal strength. This is an interesting fact. The word strong that is used here in this verse is used as a verb, and this particular word is used exclusively by Paul. And it's interesting, he uses it a total of 7 times in the New Testament. 5 of those times he refers to an inner strength, which is available in the Lord. Now, this is the same remedy that Paul used. And, Chip, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. And it reads, finally, my brethren, here he goes again, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But while this request in Ephesians 6:10 was used to be strong in the Lord, are we on?
Yes,
thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But while this request was used to be strong in the Lord, Paul here in verse 2 Timothy 2:1 is urging Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the difference is due to the fact that the apostasy that was going on, and just to bring you up to speed one more time on what the apostasy is, simply put, is the falling away, in other words, from the truth of the mystery and the body of Christ, which Christ is the head. That's what the apostasy is. was by now a very strong issue, and Timothy would need a special grace in this special time of need. Remember back in Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians when Paul revealed a fact about the strength that was gained, particular grace that is in Christ Jesus. When the Apostle Paul was suffering from a thorn in the flesh, and on three different occasions, Paul asked the Lord that his thorn in the flesh might leave him, only to receive the word from God. If you will turn, Chip, to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Okay, now there, I think we're back on again. We got a lot of wind going on down here in Indiana. I don't know if that's what's going on, but I'll continue. In 2 Timothy 12:9, it says, grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse 10, therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, or in other words, in his weaknesses, or in his reproaches, or in other words, in my insults, in necessities, or in other words, in my needs, in persecution, in my persecutions and distresses, in my distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How often do we, even today, find this to be true? That when we are strong and we're going our way in life, that we tend to forget our Lord and Savior. But when we are weak and we need some help, we don't hesitate to lean a little harder and pray a little more. And there lies in our strength. Paul certainly learned this lesson. Paul goes on to say in the verse that I quoted that encouragement then is the call for us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Surely his grace will prove as sufficient for us in our small battles for Christ as it did for Paul and Timothy in their bigger battles. Then what exactly is this grace that Timothy is to be strong in? First of all, it is a specific grace. It is a grace that is located in Christ Jesus. In Paul's writings, he often refers to it as that which God has given. In fact, it is impossible to separate the grace of God from the grace of Jesus Christ. Notice here that Paul is not asking Timothy. Instead, Paul is demanding of an inner strength in the sphere of the grace which is dwelling in Jesus Christ. Think now, Chip, if you would go to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. I think that the best example of what God has proved for us through the grace of Christ is found in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. It says, for you, Corinthians, knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through be rich. And believers already knew, and they acknowledged what Jesus had done for them. They knew the reason he left his rich position in heaven, and this is a word that, when you talk about Christ dying on the cross, I really like this particular word, because Christ willingly died as one of Calvary's cross, that it was for your sake, for their sake. You can think that God the Father is the source of grace. This is true. But seldom is the grace of God mentioned separately from Jesus Christ. Grace is also referred to as being or belonging. According to the verse we just read, which the grace of Jesus Christ has provided for you and I, is internal. Plus, it gives us spiritual, which in turn gives you and I an inner energy. Now, the next one, they're back on. When in turn gives you and I an inner strength. Remember what Paul said when the believers all deserted him at his defense. And that 2 Timothy 4:16 to 17 reads, "At my first defense, no man stood, all men forsake me. I pray God may not be laid to their charge." Verse 7, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." So Paul's instructions to Timothy was to be strong in the grace in Christ. It's very important for all of us believers, and it should be the norm for every Christian, because in 2 Timothy 9, verse 8, now that's the next one if you'll go to, Chip. 2 Timothy 9, verse 8. 2 Timothy 9, so I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, I'm going wrong. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. I guess trying to keep up with whether I'm on the air or not is sort of looking out here. 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God is," we got to remember this, and this is really special, "and God is able to make all or every grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." The word "able" here in 2 Corinthians 9:8 means, and this is really special, got the power and the ability to cause all grace and every to thrive and to be plentiful in us believers. That is really special information. And we need to keep that in the back of our mind in times that we're put on the spot. Of all the ideas in the Bible, one of the most important ideas for you and I to understand and apply daily to our life is that of God's grace. If you are struggling and you don't understand God's grace, then you will probably have trouble understanding the gospel message, because grace is at the center of the gospel message. Not only are we saved by grace, but we grow in grace. God's grace motivates us to serve Him. God's grace endures us in our trials. When we are ready, we are invited. When we are needy, we are invited to come to God's throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I found this, I was studying on the word grace, and Chip, if you'll go to the last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 21. Now, this, Revelation 22, verse 21. This is the last verse in the Bible. And it reads, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. We need to read that. But that is the information we get out of the Bible. Paul supports this thought in Philippians 4:13. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I got to get another drink of water, I'm dry tonight. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Looking at several of these verses, it appears that Jesus Christ was the one who was okaying the Apostle Paul. A good way of interpreting Philippians 4:13, Paul was able to do all things by means of Christ, who was continually strengthening Paul. At the beginning of Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do, which literally means that Paul had the ability, and Paul had the power, to succeed in all things, because Christ gave to Paul an inner power and an inner strength to be adequate in times of Paul's abundances and in times of Paul's shortages. In our verse, 2 Timothy 2:1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. According to this verse, one aspect of the riches which the grace of Jesus Christ has provided for us to believe, internals and an inner energy. Paul's command, grace, is important for all. This term for Christians. Paul's thoughts were to suffer in the service of Christ was not a penalty, but it was a privilege, for it is sharing in his work. Now let's go to the next verse here in 2 Timothy 2:2. You got her. Thank you, Chip. God's latest orders and his final word to mankind was assigned to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. The believer who thinks he or she can serve the Lord in a self-will has no promise from God's word for recognition or reward or resurrection. If believers choose to deny, now this is important, remember this, if believers choose to deny or neglect the Acts 28 message given to Paul, then they are literally Lord, and they will be the ones to suffer the loss. If a believer's will is obedient to God, then he will follow the instructions given Paul to Timothy by Paul. Paul's emphasis here is oral or spoken communicate truth. And the things that you have heard or that you have listened to or that which is impressed upon you in your mind through the ear. Timothy was undoubtedly acquainted with the contents of many of Paul's epistles, and he may have read the first letter written to him by this time. But still, we must admit that here, Paul is speaking about the truth, which Timothy had received through the sense of hearing. But one thing that we are really certain about, and that is Timothy was to commit 100% of Paul's total gospel to faithful. Notice what Paul didn't say, to saints and faithful men. And I'm going to take that subject up here in just a few minutes. Philippians 4:9. If you would turn to that, Chip, Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9 reads, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, why did Paul use these particular four words, learned, received, heard, and seen? These are instructions even for us believers. The first word in Philippians 4:9 was learned. It literally refers to knowledge and understanding that they had gained and acquired through being discipled by Paul. Even back when Jesus was walking here among his disciples, Jesus ordered his 12 disciples to learn of me. And Chip, oh, where are you out tonight? Matthew 11:29-30. Matthew 11. I very seldom go back into the Gospels, but Matthew 11:29-30. Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Paul instructs all believers, even today, to practice what they have learned from him, because Paul had learned it from none other than Christ. The second word in Philippians 4:9 that Paul used was received. It literally means information that have received from and acquired from the Apostle Paul. They are to, because approximately 10 years before 28:28, Paul instructed Thessalonian believers, so you and I, as body believers, are to practice what we are to carry out, the inspired truth of the Pauline epistles. The third word in Philippians 4:9 that Paul used was the word heard. It literally is referring to the truth the Apostle Paul had directed to their minds by way, because hearing involves listening, observing, and it also involves understanding. Paul was reminded that he had the responsibility to pass on what he had heard from Paul. You stop and think about all the things that Timothy had to. He had a boatload of instructions. It tells us in our verse here that we are looking at, "And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses," the same comment. But the fourth word Paul chose to use in Philippians 4:9 was the word seen, referring to Paul's life and how he walked during that, which had been impressed upon their mind sight. As the local believers watched Paul's daily life, in which he counted himself to be dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus, they were to have the same mindset and to practice the same things. As they watched Paul in his human relations, they observed how Paul reacted to people, and when he was under pressure, and they were to react in the same way. This means that when they were treated wrong, they were to react with Paul by doing good. It's important for you and I to pay attention to whom Timothy had heard the gospel, which Timothy was to commit to faithful men. Paul is instructing Timothy to commit to faithful men a very specific message, namely that which you heard from me, that which Timothy had heard from Paul was not important because of Paul being, it wasn't important because Paul had been a highly educated Jew, but it was important because Paul was a specially chosen spokesman for Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel message did not have its origin in Paul's mind. Instead, it was directly revealed to Paul by Jesus Christ, as we are told in Galatians. So under no uncertain terms, Paul commands Timothy to commit what he had heard to faithful men. The word comment here literally means to deposit with or entrust to. What was involved was for Timothy to take what he had heard from Paul and impress it on their minds of faithful men. And during this exchange, the truth from Paul to Timothy and to faithful men and the accuracy of the information was very important. The task was to bring men a new discovery, a secret that was kept throughout the ages and the generations, and now was revealed. This glorious hope was not only for the Jews, but it was for all, everywhere. Paul's great contribution to the Christian faith was that he took Christ to the Gentiles, and he destroyed forever the idea that God's love and mercy were the property of any one people or any one nation. That is why Paul is a special sense, our faithful one and our apostle. So Paul sits down here and he writes some intentions out. And Chip, if you'd go to Colossians chapter 28, Colossians 1, verse 28. Interesting verse. So Paul sits down here and he writes, Colossians 1:28, whom we preach among, now listen to this, this is repeated three times, of whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Three times in this verse, every man is used, emphasizing that Paul is talking about a personal one-on-one ministry here. Continually involved in teaching every man in all wisdom. The word wisdom here is in a singular, and it refers to a body of truth, the mystery, which is the subject of this writing. When we study Paul's epistles, it is obvious that Paul commonly uses the word wisdom almost equally with the word mystery. It gives believers the information necessary for living pleasingly to God in this age. Paul's purpose in declaring Christ and teaching in all wisdom was that Paul was and has and his co-workers might present every man perfect in Christ before or in the presence of God. But the fact is that the only thing in this world that is for every person is Christ Jesus. Paul spent nearly 3 years in Ephesus training faithful men to teach his gospel throughout Asia. When Paul commands Timothy to commit and deposit the total revelation of the truth given to him by faithful men, he's talking about a big job, that which takes time and time to comprehend and absorb. Now, the Strong's word for faithful here applies to both men and women, or to individuals that could be trusted with Paul's gospel. Those who wanted to train under Timothy had to meet one basic requirement. First of all, they had to be faithful. Just to train an unfaithful person would be a waste of time and could possibly bring about dishonor to the Lord. The object needs to be green. There we are, back again. I'll repeat this paragraph again. It says, qualified or able literally means that the faithful men and faithful women trained in the truth or Paul's gospel would be qualified individuals capable of teaching others. What Paul is suggesting here in this verse is that this teaching cycle of the truth from Paul is to continue until the coming of Christ. Now, here's some food for thought. When it comes to the faithful men and the faithful women, Chip, if you'll turn to Ephesians 1:1. We've only looked at this a million times, but we'll do it one more time. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. To the saints and to the faithful. There's been some discussion about what these two words and what they mean. Some individuals would like to think that there are two classes, the saints and the faithful. And some individuals would like to think that there is only one class, the faithful saints. But if that were true, there would be little need for the warnings and advice of the last three chapters of Ephesians as to how to be faithful saints. The only way for a sinner to become a saint is to be separated to God in Christ. Then, believers in Jesus Christ who have been separated or set apart from the world and serve God are called saints. The faithful means to be full of. Here we are back on again. The faithful obey the word. They are trustworthy and reliable. They are those who in Christ and in his body, not all saints, are faithful. You are not counted faithful until you walk in the good works which are before intended for him. In other words, in the true sense of the word, there is no such thing as a saint or a faithful one without Christ Jesus. Those who have died with him are saints. Those who endure or suffer are the faithful. And now let's look and see where that information comes from. Chip, if you would turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy 2, 12. Second Timothy 2:12. There it is. Thank you.
There.
Okay, this, what I'm going to read to you, Mr. Osbaker wrote, and it's from volume 30, page 21, dated February of 1978. He said, it is rather puzzling that there should be two parties mentioned in the introduction to Ephesians. There are saints which are at Ephesus on one hand and the faithful on Christ Jesus on the other. Does this mean that there was a division in what was supposed to be a unity? Question for you. Has there been any divisions elsewhere in Scripture? Is this speaking of a group like Christendom today, which is very little cloth and mostly just fringe? Probably the best way to find an answer would be to look at ourselves. Where do we fit in? We might use the example of Gideon choosing men for a great victory. In the test made, there appeared differences of the men who answered a call to fight. Few were chosen as faithful ones who could be depended on. Many are called, few are chosen, as they rule in the kingdom calling. There were two classes. In the dragging of the net in the kingdom, there were found fishes, both good and bad. But they are. In the judgment on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find those who made good and those who were careless, and their works burned up with fire, saved as by fire. In the great tribulation, there will be two divisions of Israel, the overcomer and the non-overcomer, and there will be 1,000 years between their resurrections. We have seen many examples of outward faith, at least. There are many today who are faithful in attending Bible class, prayer meetings, and taking part wherever they can. And there are some who are today and somewhere else tomorrow. They never can be depended on. They are too busy with things of this world. And like Demas, who loved the present world, they were failure right from they were needed the most. Remember, the disciples slumbered and slept while the Lord suffered in Gethsemane. So there is a difference between the whole cloth and the fringe. Many accept in their heads the principles of right division and the mystery, but they only do it as a hobby. And they soon tire of it and flitter on to something else. People like... There we are. We're back on again. Good word. Having a form... 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, with Paul. What was counted to him was the presence of the power in their lives. He looked for the power in their life. He personally cherished it in his own life. Paul makes a comment that in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It is made perfect in weakness, more infirmities. Not many can endure because they have itching ears. They are always looking for the new, so they seek out for teachers who will fulfill the desires of the flesh. In 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12, there are also two groups, the dispensation of mystery, those who had the baptism and so live with him, and those who endure or suffer to be faithful. Those are the ones who will reign with him. A question is, are you merely a saint or are you a faithful one? Now, this is the end of Mr. Baker's article, and it's also the end of my talk for this evening. And Chip, I want to thank you for your patience and your posting this. Thank you for posting it. But I want to thank you all for listening, and I'm sorry this all had to be broken up like it did, but that's Mother Nature for you. I'm going to hang up here, or hang out of here.